We made another week, born and passed by. And I'm so happy to be here tonight. So we're going to get started. We still got a little ways to cover in this chapter 22. This is such a beautiful chapter in Scripture. And we really got to, you know, take our time to look at it. There's so many tie-ins that we can look at and so many similarities to Yeshua. That's what it links to, after all. And so we're going to get started. I'm going to start reading here, just on the foundation that's been laid for us. And in Genesis 22, verse 1, "And it came to be, after these events, that Elohim tried Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. Here I am." Now, we mentioned that. Sister Hillary brought that out the other night, how important that the three little words are, "Here I am." And that's not the first time we see that in Scripture. Well, this is the first time. I'm taking it back. This is the first time we see that. And he's going to mention that. He's going to, same statement again, "Here I am," when he's about to slay his son, when he calls out. I'm so thankful that Abraham was listening. But I think I'm just a little loud. On my end, anyway. Anyway, yeah, that sounds better. He says, "Here I am." And also we see that in, I'm not going to read the story, I did go back and read it. But I'm going to give it to you so you can go and check it out for yourself. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4, 6, and 16, three times, he says, "Here I am," and Yehovah is calling him. Because the Scripture says that he was just a young boy. He was the only son on top of that. So you can see there's many more Scripture to look at than what I just have on the pages of my notes. But he was the only son for Hannah. And she prayed for a son, and she said, "Lord, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you." And he was just a small boy, you know, ministering in the house of Yehovah. And didn't even know, the Scripture said, didn't even know him yet. But Yehovah called him. And three times he said, "Here I am." I believe sometimes that should be our words. When he calls, we should be listening. "Here I am." Be ready to answer. And he said, "Take your son now, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a sending offering on one of the mountains which I command you." And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the ascending offering, and arose and went to the place which Elohim had commanded him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from a distance. I want to stop right there because that's said a lot in just these few verses. Now, we're dealing with an only son. Now, we know in Abraham's case, that's not technically his only son, but Sarah, that's her only son. A seed of promise. And they're asked to do something. They're up in age. And he's asked of Yehovah, what is the test is? Love. And that's what we left on last week about the subject of love. And I believe our love for him, it's tested. It's going to be tested, whether you're at the end of your life or you're at the middle age of your life. It doesn't matter at what age you're at. Afford to Abraham, they were up in age. But still, he's being tested amongst all that he stood for. After all these years, love is being tested for him. And we're going to see in the Scripture, we're going to go to in just a little bit, that there's a couple different kind of love in the Greek. There's one in the Hebrew. But we're going to see the difference between all that, because our love for him, it's much more than we have love for one another. And I'm going to show you that. He says, go to the land of Moriah. Leave from where you're at. Remember, he's down there after these events. What events? He met with Abimelech and Phicol, his commander. And they were down there in the land of Philistine. They had the conversation about the well. And the Scripture said he stayed there a while in the land of Philistines. Now he's asked to leave, go to a land that, I'm assuming this might be his first journey there, because we don't have it recorded, I know of, that he goes there, probably a 45, 50-mile journey. So this is no little simple stretch. And offer up his son, his only son, that Yehovah calls, his only son, to Abraham, on one of the mountains which I command you. Now this Moriah, I didn't dig into it because this is a whole other message. But I did at least familiarize myself with it and looking into the history of it. And it's a very significant place because in Chronicles it talks about where Shlomo built the first temple. And even till today, they're claiming that's where the Temple Mount is located, in that area. So now we see the connection where all the fighting is going on, what it's about, because they want the land, but they can't have it. The bottom letter, they can't have it because it belongs to Abraham and to his descendant that was promised by Jehovah. So you can go check out your own study on Moriah, because it's a lot. There's a lot of questions that goes along with that, but it's, hey. And he says he rose early in the morning. Now, when I got to this point in this picture, you know, I'm thinking about this scene. And I told a little story last year, but I'm going to tell another one again. I think about this scene where Abraham rises up early in the morning. And he said he takes two of his servants with him. And he's got Yitzhak. And I could see Yitzhak coming there early in the morning, probably still wiping his eyes. Mom, what? Why is Dad up so early? You know how we all were early in the morning. Your eyes are a little squinchy. You know, he's probably tired. Might have had a long day the day before. But here's Abraham early in the morning waking up. He's waking up Chad and Rob to take with him on this journey. And Yitzhak is with him. And I can hear Yitzhak say, what is Rob and Chad doing so early in the morning with Dad? And why is Dad chopping wood? Mom. Why is Dad chopping wood so early in the morning? It's barely even daylight. And his mom is just there. I can see her in the kitchen or whatever her tent was set up. And she might be making him a snack for the ride, an unleavened cake, maybe a wafer. You know, this is what I'm thinking when I'm reading this passage of scripture. And he said, Mom, you hear me? And Mom turned around, yeah, I hear you, son. And he said, Mom, why are you crying? What's the matter, Mom? His son, you have to go away with your dad. And Mom loves you. I'm just sad. But you can imagine, this right here, it's the last time she's going to see her son. It's not counting, I don't want to have a spoiler alert, but it's the last time Abraham sees her alive. Think about that. All you got to do is go read the scripture. So there's a lot taking place right here, more than what we just read on the pages. We have to think of what's going on. Take your son, your only son. This is what we're dealing with. Remember four things we dealt with. We talked about it. We talked about life. Let me make sure before I just say it. We talk about love, hate, lust, and death. All in this passage we're about to look at. But take your son. Then I can see Isaac. Okay. All right, Mom. I love you too. And he's probably the last one in the caravan. Dad's going off with the donkey. Rob and Chad's going off next to Abraham. And here's Yitzhak and Mom waiting by. Son, I love you, son. She's screaming these words. Because trust me, not only Abraham loves him, his mama loves him too. So I can't really imagine, you know, a mother's love. I've heard that statement all my life. And you can't really imagine a mother's love for her children. You know, like tomorrow, I got to go tomorrow because we're having a memorial service for one of my brothers. And I can't imagine what my mom's going through. But I know for a health reason, you can see it when you talk to her. So you can imagine Sarah at this point in her time, up in age, 90-something years old, watching her son, like I mentioned last week, going down that road for the very last time. Now, I know she's probably expecting Abraham to bring him back. But she doesn't see him anymore. This is this scene that I want you to grasp. And he's probably a mama's boy, just waving behind. Hi, Mom, I love you too. I'll see you back in a couple days. I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly what the conversation was, but I can just get that imagery in your mind. He said, by the way, I made you a little something for the snack for the ride, son, because I love you. Enjoy this while you're riding with Dad. Enjoy this trip you're going on, not knowing she's not going to see him again. Possibly that's up for grab because she loves him, because he's the only son. She would guard Isaac with her life. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And I can see Isaac on the back of that donkey, you know, getting along out of sight, and he's going, and he's probably a couple of hours away, and he's probably snacking on his cake, thinking about his mom back home. And then he's looking. He said, man, I wonder if he's wondering, man, I see the wood. Why we got a wood cut? That's all kind of wood in Moriah. He said, I wonder why we got wood, and I see the fire, but I'm wondering where's the lamb. So I wonder if Isaac is thinking about that. What's going on? This is the scene I get when I'm reading this, because it deals heavily with love, and our love is going to be tested. I can tell you, this is what I'm pointing to. So let's get a few foundational scriptures to look at. In Romans chapter 8, because the subject is about love. In verse 31, what then shall we say to this? If Elohim is for us, who is against us? What two great questions. Truly, he who did not spare his only son, this is what we're dealing, but delivered him up on a behalf of us all, how shall he not along with him freely give us all else? You think he's going to hold back? If he did not spare his son for us, you think he's going to hold back anything else from you? Who shall bring any charge against Elohim's chosen one? You and I. You are his chosen one tonight. It is Elohim who is declaring right. Who is he who is condemning? Is it Messiah who died and furthermore is also raised up, who is also at the right hand of Elohim, who makes intercessions for us? Look, he didn't die for, don't think he died for nothing. He was willingly. He didn't have to, but it was for you and I, and we owe him. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall pressure, or distress, or persecution, or scarcity of food, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? What's some great question to ask? What's going to separate you from the love of Messiah? We're living in end times. You think we're not going to be tested in end times? Remember, because we're having to deal with what? Everlasting life. This is what's on the table. That love of Messiah. Remember I gave you a definite two kind of love, G25 and G26. This is this G26 love. You're going to see sometime that we'll flip-flop back and forth. But you're going to see that this love is so much superior than the love we know. He said, as it has been written, verse 36, as it has been written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are reckoned as sheep of slaughter. Think about that. But in all this, we are more than overcomers through him who loved us. He loves you. And what he wants from us? To reciprocate that love back. But be faithful in it. Be steadfast, unmovable. He tells us these things. He gives us these principles. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor messengers, nor principalities, nor powers, neither the present nor the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Elohim. That's how serious it is. Which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Master. That's how we're going to get, that's the only way you can get to Elohim is through Yeshua Messiah. And he's going to show us, we're going to look in Scripture, what's this love, what does it have to deal with? Because I gave you four definitions. It goes more than that. But I just gave you four highlights to look at. In Hebrews 11, we're going to get to the main course. So just hang tight. This is just appetizers right now. In Hebrews 11, 17, by belief, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he who has received the promises offered up his only brought forth son. That sounds just like the Father, what he done for you and I. Of whom it was said, in Yitzhak your seed shall be called, reckoning that Elohim was able to raise even from the dead, from which he received him back as a type. And this is why we're reading about it, the life of Yitzhak. And now we just taking off of his life right now, because he's just a young man being offered, going to be offered up at around the age of 30. This is what he said. He's not, don't think a little bitty kid leaving his mama, you know, just going with his dad on a little trip. This is a grown man. He knows, you know, the Torah. He's learning from his father. All right. These are just a couple of verses I want to point out. Now let's get back to where in 1 John. Let's see it with this love, what it all has to deal with, these four elements. 1 John 4:7. This was, like I said, I've been going through this all week. I read this from last week, from the time I started here up until today. I've read this passage of scripture every day. Because I need this love. And you need it. And we're going to see exactly why we need it. Because what? Tough times are here. They're not coming. They're here. Look, I had to go and take a boat and course class just to be able to go drive a boat for Hillcore. I'm in Allfield business. I was like, what? I've been licensed captain for X amount of years now. Still, yeah, more is required. And shouldn't he require more of us? So to think that we're not going to be tested, we're exempt from the test, we're mistaken. Beloved ones, in verse 7, let us love one another, because love is of Elohim. And everyone who loves has been born of Elohim and knows Elohim, or rather been known by him. In Galatians 4:9, y'all don't have to turn, because these are some scriptures y'all should have already. I'm just going to point them out, but I'm going to get you some fresh ones here in just a minute. But let me tell you, these are still fresh. In Galatians 4:9, it says, Elohim, but now after you have known Elohim, or rather are known by Elohim, how do you turn again to the weak and poor elementary matters to which you wish to be enslaved again? What do you mean, a slave again? Because you were once there and you want to go back to it? You want to turn back from him? All what he's done, he's took you out of the house of bondage. And we see that many times in Scripture. They wish to go back. After they have known Elohim, or rather known by him. Very important Scripture. The one who does not love does not know Elohim, for Elohim is love. I mean, you know that love, that's that G26. That's not 25, that's 26. So if you have the Scriptures Bible and you can see the numbers, you'll see the difference between 25 and 26, where the associated love, like we love one another, compared to his love, much more superior, much more advanced. And that's where he's trying to get us to. That agapho is the social love, is the G25. And it leads you to a Hebrew word, agave, which is H5689, and that's where you lust, that's where you can find your lust at. Back in the beginning, where it started. And the G26 agape, mentioned 116 times. And it's the love for mankind, accompanied with desire to promote their happiness. Not what makes you happy, what you can do for others. You know, they have this saying, it's not what your country can do for you, it's what you can do for your country. I wonder where they get this definition from. But the one who does not love does not know Elohim, for Elohim is love. Now, the only way you're going to know who Elohim love is to go back to like we just done, and to like what he like and to hate what he hate. This is why we're going through his words. Every week we go through this. Our very first slide. For Elohim is love. By this, the love of Elohim was manifested to us, that Elohim has sent his only brought forth Son into the world in order that we might live through him. Having to deal with life, because that's life and love. In His love, that's life. And that's everlasting life, eternal life. And only brought forth to Him His Son. And what did we do? We killed Him. And all He had to try to do was, He was trying to point us back to the Father. But the religious leaders, they slaughtered Him. They killed Him like an animal. This is what they did. They couldn't see that love was standing right in front of them. He loved you so much that he laid down His life. In John 3:16, so it says, "For Elohim so loved the world that He gave His only brought forth Son." His only brought forth Son. "So that everyone who believed in Him should not perish, but possess everlasting life." This is not a cakewalk. And we know that Elohim has more sons, because you read in Scripture, He said when the sons of Elohim came before Him, that was the day when they came before Him. But this is the only brought forth unique Son. He's different from all the rest. There's not going to be another one like Him. And when He comes, man, what a day and a time that's going to be when He returns. And this is what we've been waiting for. And He makes this statement. He says, when that day comes, I mentioned it the other night, He said the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And the rest of the alive and remain, how often that would be to see Him alive. And He said, you'll be caught up together. And so you're ever going to be with the Master. What beautiful words. We got to give our love straight. By this, verse 9, the love of Elohim was manifested in us, that Elohim has sent His only brought forth Son into the world in order that we might live through Him. In John 6:68, He said, "Then Shimon Kefer answered Him, 'Master, to whom shall we go? You possess the words of everlasting life.'" He possessed it. Why? Because all power and all authority has been given to Him from His Father. Now He shares that, He wants to share that everlasting life with you and I today. That's why we're here. I believe here tonight, deep down, we love Him. But you know, there's still more room in our heart for perfection. We're going to see that the Scripture tells us that. That we might live through Him, because He is our source of life. Verse 10. "In this is love, not that we love Elohim, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be an atoning offering for our sins." This is one of the reasons why He came. He didn't come not just to die. People say He came just to die. No, He came for more than that. But this was part of the process that He had to go through. In John 8:34, Yeshua answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone doing sin is a servant of sin." Just to let you know. Beloved ones, if Elohim so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen Elohim at any time. If we love one another, Elohim does stay in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Now you can see that there's a little shift here, because he wants to give you from here to perfection. Because that's, you say, well, how is that? We've got to get our love for Him right. We've got to love what He loved. We've got to hate what He hates. No matter what the cost is. No matter what you're up against. Whatever giant you face in your life. Your love for Him has to matter the most. And we're going to face that in life. You don't think Abraham, the test that he went through, and Sarah, what she's going through? Look, I can't imagine leaving my wife for just for a few days, go to work, and come back, and she not be alive anymore. What a test. But that's the part of the process that it involves. He had to go through it. What makes you think we won't? He had to endure the test. He had to endure the stake, the beatings, and the spitting, and the mocking, and the flogging. For what? Verse 13, "By this we know that we stay in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit." Stay is G3306, minnow, mentioned 120 times. It's very important. That word wasn't even important. Why put it so many times in the scripture? You know, we have to take our time with it and look at it. Because it's that's what happened. Translation is where the biggest fault's at. Because sometimes we read stuff and we read right through it and we don't get the full meaning. That's why I'm so, the Hebrew language is so beautiful. I was telling my guy on the boat today. I've been working with him all week. And just yesterday was the first opportunity I had to speak word to him. And it was beautiful. I told him about the Hebrew language and how I follow this. And I say it can be identified by a picture and a number. And the word itself and the definition of it. I said, but we have to take our time to really want to look into it. We had a great talk, him and I. In Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, Elohim has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Mm-hmm. Same spirit that his son has. He wants to give it in you, that life-giving spirit. Because he's alive. At the right hand of the Father, making intercession. And we have seen and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son, the only Son. You don't say sons, the Son, Savior of the world. We know that. We alive here today. That's one witness. And the other miracles that you have in your life, you have your own witnesses in your own lives. You went through your own testing. But this is our message that we preach, that he is the Savior of the world. That's one of the reasons we had to have him. We had to have Yitzhak as a type, as a shadow of what was to come. And once you make all these connections, it really is beautiful. Whoever confesses that Yeshua is the son of Elohim, Elohim stays in him, and he in Elohim. And John 6:69, and we have believed, and we know that you are the Messiah, the son of the living Elohim. What a confession they made. They believe, and we know. And I believe, and today I believe and know that. I'll say that. How do we say that? We take it to the grave. And that's going to be our message. We're not going to change. We're not going to deviate. Unless we're instructed to. Look, when you're on the road and you don't know what the speed sign is, you got to go by the last speed sign you've seen. Well, no, amen. Are y'all awake tonight? Are y'all here? Man, don't make me start all over. I mean, if you don't know that's the law, well, I mean, tell you what, you got to go back to your last speed sign. Ain't no excuse to tell me before, I didn't know. What is it? Go back to your last sign that you passed. Amen. It was 20 miles behind. Doesn't matter. It didn't change. Yeah, I think they're getting awake now, Pastor. Oh, boy. Now we're going to get into where I believe where we left off. I'm going to get to the meat here. Let me go over verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that Elohim has for us. Elohim is love. It's letting us know that he is love. And he who stays in love stays in Elohim. We have to stay in love with him and with her. We have to stay in love with our spouses and with our brothers and with our sisters. We have to stay in love. But right here, we're talking about that stay in love with him. This is G26. This is that hierarchy love that's much, much superior than all of us here tonight. But we have to stay in love. And what? Elohim, stay in you. You wonder why. Well, let me give you a couple of reasons why we need to stay in this love. Now, I'm not saying this is the main reason, but I'm going to give you a couple of verses of scripture that you can see the reason why he's telling us that. In 2 Corinthians 2:9-10, It says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood. If you're alive, when we get to this point in our lives, and this lawlessness comes around to where you have no more freedom of your rights, you better be in love with him. And you better be staying rooted and grounded in that love. Why? And with all deceit of unrighteousness, how are you going to know the truth? And those perishing, there's people tonight that's perishing, because they did not receive the love, they're that subject of the truth, in order for them to be saved. Are you hearing me tonight? G26 right here, at that love of the truth. Who do you think that love of the truth is? The Father. I'm glad you asked that question. It's him. You have to love him. You have to stay in that love, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the cost. Even if your children's life is on the line, and that's a hard thing for you, we have to face. But Abraham had to go through the test. We're not exempt. Just because we're the new church, or we're in a new covenant. It doesn't matter what you identify yourself. To him, that means nothing. We have to adjust our hearts. We have to let him circumcise our heart and get it right and break up the fallow ground of our heart in order to receive this love of the truth. Because if not, you won't know the falsehood when it comes. He says, for those perishing, in order for them to be saved. Once you perish, it's hard to be saved after you perish. You know, you can preach, yeah, I'll probably hear a good inspiration message tomorrow, but that don't make it the truth. You have to love him. Let me give you another reason why. But this one I got to go read it because I didn't write it down. It's one of my added notes in here. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4, but I hold this against you, that you have left your first love. G26. So what happens? And so you wonder why you're perishing. So remember from where you have fallen and repent. There's time. While we still have time, no matter what it is, and repent and do the first works, or else, I come to you speedily. We know he's coming. We've been saying it. Some of y'all have been hearing it for a lot of years. I believe we're that much closer. And remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. That's a warning to us. That's a warning for us to do what? Stay in him. Stay in love with him. In love with the truth. No, at all costs. Now, like I say, are these the reason why? I don't know, but they're up there at the very top, I believe. And we should definitely pay attention to the staying in love with him. Let's go back to 1 John. So you can see that this is no easy cakewalk for Avram. But he has to go through this. Because he's been promised a nation of people, land, riches, to what, which you are heir today of. Or you can be if you choose to stay in him. That's the thing. We have to minnow. You have to. There's no other way. And the only one that you can receive that is through the one who paid by his own blood. I don't know. You know, when somebody pays by blood, I was watching this movie one time. I don't remember the name of it. It's one of them karate movie style. It's one of today's time, but they went to overthrow the emperor, and this pack got together, but they had to write there. It's in Chinese. They had to write there, whatever it was, and they had to take their own sword, pull it out, and a little snip on their hand, and with their thumbprint, sign it in blood. And you're gonna stay with the pack no matter what. Because the emperor wasn't doing right, but the king that was before him. So they went to, they was going to restore order. They knew their life was on the line, so they signed it in blood. That I'm not going to deviate. This is what is required of you tonight. All of us. By this, verse 17, by this love has been perfected in us. Once you get to that point, you're on your way. If you stay, you do it, everything that's required, you're on your way. Perfecting us in order that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. That's a day coming. That's a payday coming, whether you're on his side or not. Well, that depend. Your reward is going to determine on how you lived your life here. Because as he is, so are we in this world. But he's perfect. And his love is perfect. And that's where he wants to get us to. He wants to get you and I to that perfection. That's what the whole test is about, Abraham. Before I give you all this, Abraham, before I give you all this last riches of the world that you my guy. He said, but I got to test you one thing. I want you to offer up your son for me. You can imagine Abraham laying with his wife and say, honey, I got a mission to do. Well, what's that? Elohim wants me to go offer Isaac. Can you imagine? As a sacrifice. Look at this love here. Look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear holds torment or opposed punishment. And he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So there's room for you and I today. Because that's something we're fearful about. But he wants to get us to that place that you're not going to fear. You're not going to fear death. You're not going to fear life. You're not going to fear the giant alongside of you. You have no fear because why? You're made perfect in love. In Revelations 12:11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their witness, and they did not love their lives to the death. Wow. He said, that's why he's trying to get us. Yes. Look at remember, because why? What's up for grab? Everlasting life. It doesn't weigh out to nothing. You can't compare nothing to everlasting life with the Master. In Hebrews 11:36, and others had trials of mocking and floggings, and more of chains and imprisonment. Now, we've dealt with some of the mocking and the floggings, but we've never dealt with the chains and the imprisonment yet. And I say yet because can those days come? You can take your head and you can do this. Y'all don't have to amen me. I'm going to amen my own self. David said, well, I got no one to encourage me. I encourage my own self. I'm just saying what the scripture says. They were stoned, verse 37, they were stoned, they were tried. How about this one? They were sawn in two. Who are they sawn in two? The non-believers? I really wonder who they cutting in half. They were slain with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being in need, afflicted, mistreated. This is our history now. What went through before us in order to get us here in air-conditioned padded chairs. Let's not forget that. That doesn't make us exempt. Because we're going to go through some stuff. I believe we're going to go through stuff. And I believe if we don't stay rooted and grounded, it'll be so quick on us, you won't have time to worry about what Yeshua said. If you're up in the field, don't worry about going back and get your coat. There's no time for turning back. You're in it now. You're on the hook. Being mistreated, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes of the earth. They were running for their lives. Why? Because in Acts 8:3, but Shaul was ravaging the assembly. Ooh, the what? The assembly. Look at you, we are around here tonight. We hadn't faced that yet, but it doesn't mean it ain't coming. Let's not forget that. Entering every house and dragging off men and women, putting them in prison. This is what was going on in our history. And sometimes I wonder how dare we not want to show up for him. And the day coming, when he comes, your love is going to be tested. All our love is being tested now. And look, I believe it's going to get tougher. As we live life down the road, we're going to see tougher things. We see things now in our time age which we live, we've never seen before. How much more we should be paying attention. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear holds punishment. And he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So there's room. We're still breathing, there's room. We love him because he first loved us. And we know that. One of my favorite quotes in the scripture is in Exodus 21 verse 5. And if the slave loves his wife and his children and he wants to stay, he gets nailed to the post and he says, I love my master. And I love my wife and I love my children. But you have to stay with the master. You have to let him do the work in us that he wants to do. But I love my master. What beautiful words that a servant, that a slave would say. And I know we're going to get to that. That's down the road. I don't know when we're going to get to Exodus. But that's going to be some beautiful words when it comes around. I love my master. Think about these words. Do you love your master? Are you willing to lay down your life for him? And all that we do in our world today, it's challenging. It is. And it will challenge us. It's love that we need. If someone says, I love Elohim, and hate his brother. Here we go. There's the shift. There's the hate part. He is a liar. I mean, I've heard people say that. People say, oh yeah, I love God. You can't tell me I don't love God. But yeah. And the minute you go outside, you got the knife around your back, or you feel something just stuck you. For the one not loving his brother, whom he has seen, how is he able to love Elohim, whom he has not seen? How are you going to say you love Elohim? You've never seen. No one has ever seen Elohim. We have recorded sightings of messengers and agents. But the closest thing that somebody seen Elohim was Moshe. And you wouldn't know that if you unhitched from it. You would never know that passage of scripture ever existed. Because he said, that's a place by me. That's a perfect love by me. And I think that's what Moshe was asking for, that perfect love. He said, I'm going to put you there, Moshe, and I'm going to put my hand over you, and you're going to see all my goodness, my backside. It's about the closest thing we ever got recorded of a man seeing Elohim. Now, we've seen some types. We've read about them. You know, translation says some things. But he says, Moshe, no man can see my face and live. So we have to take these scriptures into consideration. But how is he able to love Elohim? But you hate your brother. That's not showing G26. Not showing agape love. That's not. I don't even believe that's even possible. That you can say you love Elohim, but you don't love your brother. You hate your brother. Come on now, you're a hypocrite. Scripture says you're a liar. I'm just saying you're a hypocrite. And we have this command from him. That the one loving Elohim should love his brother too. Now tomorrow y'all going to do that. Y'all going to experience some of that love with your brothers and share. And I believe that's going to be a joyous time. Because why? We don't know our brothers. We so dispersed out into the world, we don't know our brothers. Suppose, yeah, they look different. Yeah, they act a little different. So do you. How else are you going to know? How are you going to know? How are we going to know if we don't spend a little time with them? And that, like they share with us. So that's how you get to love one, by spending time with someone. This is why Yeshua told Peter that day on the beach, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Because the first time, he said, yeah, oh yeah, Matthew, I love you. I'm going to die for you. Okay. We'll see. By your own words, what comes out of our mouth. So we can say things. It says in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, "This people draw near to me with their mouth and respect me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Think about that. That's the words of your master. "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as teaching the commands of men." I'm so glad we're on this journey that we're teaching Elohim. And we're speaking His words. And we're speaking the words of the Master. You're not speaking nothing I wrote down today. I just copied notes. I couldn't paste them, but I copied notes. Just to share with you tonight how this love is so important that we have to, look, this is, I carried this all week to try to do my best to try to explain it. Because I have to practice these things myself. This is not just me bursting it out to you, I promise you. I have to live by these same rules. I can't get around them. I have to learn this love. You have to learn this love. We have to share it with one another. Why? If not, we don't. We can't say we love Elohim. Because if not, it makes you and I a liar. Boy, it was so much slower on the couch. Matthew 12. Well, we're not finished yet. I got backup. In verse 46. Now let's see what our master says. "And while he was still talking to the crowd, see, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. And one said to him, 'See, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.'" Now Yeshua knows who's his mama and his brothers. So but we gotta let him define this passage. I'm going to do my best to explain it. "But he answering said to the one who spoke to him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?'" So he's asking him a question to the one that spoke to him. Well, I can see the guy right there. Well, right here, your mama Mary and your brothers, John and James, they're your brothers. Yeshua said, "For whoever," and stretching out his hands toward his taught ones, he said, "See my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the desire of my Father who is in the heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Now, some of the time we took the scripture and we ran away because they're not here in this setting. That's wrong translation of thought. We have brothers and sisters outside of this church here that y'all going to visit with tomorrow. They might do things different. They might look a little, some might wear ZZ, some don't wear ZZ. We're not there to judge nobody. We're there to fellowship with them and spread this love that we need. And then when the time comes, when the scripture says, like in Corinthians, "The remaining matters when I come, I'm going to set it straight." That's what he said. But in the meantime, we're going to, look, we can't get, I don't know about that guy. We have brothers and sisters that still going to church on Sunday. It's okay. They're still your brothers and sisters. Yeah, I believe deep down inside they love Elohim. They might not have it all together. We don't have it all together. But our love shouldn't change for them. That's the thing about it. We shouldn't look down on them. Because we were once there. He said, "Remember from whence you were fallen. And go back into your first love." But we were there. We have brothers sitting out there. And look, they might not honor Shabbat day. Doesn't mean they don't love Jesus. That's what they say. Or they don't love God. Look, hey, I can't help their translation on how they speak. But they love. There's some good people out there that Elohim, when Yeshua comes, he's going to give them a chance to get it right. He's going to test their love like he's testing your love. So that's the difference in this passage of scripture. It's to teach us. That's why we're here to learn what this love is all about. It's much bigger than what we just read on the pages. Because why? He wants to bring us to perfection. I believe that. Now, let's look and see with the Father what we need to get us there. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4.
And I'm going to try to get through that, and if it run out of time, I just run out of time. You can go back and finish it. But it says, children, verse 1, children, listen to the discipline of a father and give attention to no understanding. Four things he just gave us in one verse. To discipline, attention, and understanding. Three things, my bad. And you get to listen, so that's four things. But he says, children, listen to the discipline of a father. Don't despise the discipline of a father, because we're going to need it. And give attention to no understanding. For I gave you good instructions. What are we getting here? Good instructions. Amen. Oh, now I'm amening, y'all. Come on. Y'all love Proverbs, huh? That's what I'm talking about. I should have opened up with that one first. I gave you good instructions. Do not forsake my Torah. This is what we've been saying since we've been on this journey. I love my master. When you love your master, you're going to love his Torah. Amen. And look, sometimes he may rub you wrong. He might get a little salt on the wound. It's good for you. Salt on the wound is good. It might burn, sting. Look, fall along, you get a cut, Dr. Tishner. One on his wound and one down the throat. It's good for inside and out. I told the brother Chan a little while ago, he was talking about sticking his hands up, nothing Dr. Tishner can't fix. Do not forsake my Torah. Look at verse 3. For I was my father's son, tender. What was Yitzhak? What was Yeshua? Tender. The only one in the eyes of my mother. You think Sarah wouldn't have guarded the life of Yitzhak, her son? Don't you think she was that day, when that day came, when Abraham took her out the house, don't you think she was feeling the pressure and the pain? And she knew, Abraham told her what was going down. We might not read the scripture, but she knew what was about to happen. And she had to be okay with it. Just like you and I got to be okay with it. And in certain times and certain areas of our lives that we go through. We have to trust him. We have to take him at his word. The only one. We're talking about the only son. Here in Proverbs. In the eyes of my mother. And he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my word. Guard my commands and live. Now we see another play in their life. So we just talked about death and all these other things, and lust and love and hate. Now we got life. Man, who don't love life? I love life. And you know, Granny made a statement the other day in Bible study. How wonderful it is to be alive today in this time and age in which we're living. Man, not knowing that this could be the year that maybe your master returns. I'm excited about that. Passover's coming. It's right around the corner. You still got time. Get ready. Guard my commands and live. Verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget. And do not turn away from the words of my mouth. We need a little wisdom and understanding. These are some principles that we learn in life. We have to humble ourselves to get it. Do not leave her and let her guard you. Love her. What? Love her. Who? Wisdom. Because you need her. Understanding, you need her in life's journey. And let her watch over you. You think Sarah wasn't watching over her son when the day he was born? And then when she was weaned, she saw the Mishraim mocking her son. Abraham, get him out. Not that she didn't have love for him. She had love. It's just hang on one second. I almost give you the wrong number. Hebrews H157, I gave. It's mentioned 212 times in the Hebrew. She loved Ishmael. But she knew her son of promise. That's the one she's guarding. That's her only son. And Lord, we can't have this Abraham in our house anymore. It's time for them to leave. He's starting to smell like the fish. We heard you say that statement. He's starting to smell like the fish. I used that the other day, by the way. I was coming in from bringing some offshore down, some guy from down the river. And just me and one man was in the cab of the boat and everybody else was outside. I said, we must smell like the fish. Oh boy.
Do not leave her, verse 6, and let her guard you. Love her and let her watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. He's repeating himself. So we need this. How are you going to get wisdom? One reason why you get wisdom, you come here on Shabbat when you're told to be here. And with all you're getting, get understanding. And when you come on Shabbat, bring your pencil and your paper too. Oh boy. Exalt her and let her uplift you. That's what wisdom will do to you. She brings esteem when you embrace her. She gives your head a fair wreath. She shields you with an adorning crown. Man, what a day that's going to be. Hear, my son, and accept my word. Hear, my daughters. There's no gender restriction here. And accept my words, and let the years of your life be many. For those that's up in age, you're still going strong. You're still here. Hallelujah. Look, you go through aches and pains in the morning day, but that's all right. You're still here. That motor's still running. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in straight paths. When you walk, your steps shall not be hindered, and if you run, you shall not stumble. Why? Why is it? Because you love him, and he loves you. And besides, he gives his word. He says, your word, my word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, so you don't stumble. Because why? The Koshek is there. It's out there. That frightening darkness is there. But no, it's all right. He's there too. His word is there. And it's a light to your feet. Be strong and disciplined. Do not let go. He's warning. Don't let go. Look, even though it gets tough, do not let go. Be strong and disciplined. Watch over her, for she is your life. You see how important discipline is? When he said, don't despise the discipline of a father, we need discipline. Why? Before we had no discipline, we can go to other scriptures, and we were running around crazy. Knuckleheads, a safe word. That's what we were, knuckleheads. I'm going to leave it at that, because I was a knucklehead. And probably still am sometime. In a good way, though. Hear, my son, and accept my words, and let the years of your life be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in straight paths. When you walk, your steps shall not be hindered, and if you run, you shall not stumble. Be strong and disciplined. Do not let go. Watch over her, for she is your life. Now here comes the warning. This is sometimes sometimes we don't want to read the warnings, but it's there for our safety. Do not enter the path of the wrong. You know there's some wrong path out there. We have to be careful. Do not walk in the way of evildoers. Now I didn't write this. He said this. I'm repeating what he said. There's the wrong path and there's some evildoers. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. There's another route you can go around. You don't have to pass right here. Stay on the path that he's got you on. That's not another path. A better one than the one he has us on right now. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. Now when you start playing around and you want to flounder around close to the boundaries, and we mentioned tonight in Bible study, the other night, you want to hang, that's why he set boundaries and perimeters around the mountain, because he told Moshe, get down and warn the people. He said, Yehovah, I warned them already. He told me to put boundaries. Get down and warn them. Let them know, animal, beast, I don't care what it is, if they come foot, if they pass the boundary, they're a dead man. Man, beast, woman, child, you wouldn't have no problem being falling over, tripping over the boundary if you weren't so close to it. You don't have to, just because you know where the boundary lies, you don't mean you got to go by it. And if you pass by, just turn the other way. But don't go outside of it. There's trouble when you step out of his boundaries. Now, you might step out of man's boundaries, out of man's laws. But when you step out of his laws and what he commands, and when you face him, what are you going to say when he reminds you? Well, I can tell you what the scripture says. He says, in that place, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Think about that. Well, he'll refresh your memory, I promise you. Because he said, well, how do I know? Because the word says, he said just a couple of verses before that, when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and the rest of the prophets in the kingdom, and you yourself booted out because you was too close to the line and you accidentally tripped over the line. That's the excuse you're going to use. That's what the world wants. They want to make you fall. They want to see you stumble. Because the enemy is out to get you. And you can try to be friends with him all you want. He's still your enemy. But we ought to love him. That's what he tells us. Mr. G25. Because only Yehovah can bring you to that next level. But you have to do it under his obedience. We have to love what he loved and hate what he hates in order to get there. For they have eaten the bread of wrongdoing, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. I tell you what, that yesterday when I was out in the book, the first 3 days, man, I was riding with the guys. I was like, man, it's chilly one morning, a couple of days. I said, man, I don't like weather like this. But you see that third day we was out together? Man, yesterday we woke up to clear skies, sunshine, and so on. I didn't need a jacket. I said, man, today is a beautiful day. And I said, this is the kind of days I love. It was the light of dawn. Boy, and I love. And then we had our meeting together, him and I, for the first time. Talked about scripture. We talked about the eclipse. I shared with him some of these important events. Because he asked me a question, and then that's all it takes. When the opportunity knocks, you know, we got to be ready to answer. Be ready. And I told him, I said, this is what I have to do. I'm commissioned to do this with you. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines even brighter until the perfect day. Huh? What's the perfect day? That love, that day when you're going to see him, it's going to be the perfect day. It's going to be a love like no other when he comes. What a perfect day that's going to be. The way of the wrong is like darkness, and they do not know at what they stumble. Look, Shlomo, when he started out, we can learn a lot from him. And even toward his ending, I don't know, you know, how much mercy Yah had on him, but he warned him. He went through the warning, he went through the test, because he had to write a copy of his own Torah. So he knew the rules. Yah told him, and Yah even told him. But look, he left us some great principles that we can go back and learn from. This is why we're reading his work. My son, here we go, children, my son, listen to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Guard them in the midst of your heart. We have to embrace it all. And look, we got a lot of loved ones out there. And I know that. Look, I do. I know you do too. And if it's up to us, we want to save them all. So all thing we can do is right here. Stand firm in our belief. And when the opportunity is not, give it to them. Let them have it. Because I can tell you, tomorrow if they ask me to say a word or what I think about the situation, that's why I probably don't speak too much at funeral. It's never been one of my customs. But if I'm asked, I'm going straight to Thessalonians. Because they didn't hear the truth. And I'm going to be flogged for it? Probably will. And I'm not going to be liked? Probably not. I'm not liked too much now about some areas of what my belief is. It doesn't matter to me. It matters to him. Because I'm going to do what he wants me to do. Listen, my son, listen to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Guard them in the midst of your heart.
Why? Because that's where the love needs to spurt, come out and grow from. That sprout, that fallow ground. What's that heart, he breaks loose, that love will spring forth. For they are life to those who find them. This is what we're searching for. And healing to all their flesh. You know, look, your flesh needs healing. Why? Because we're decaying. Believe it or not, we're dead men and dead women walking. Now, certainly again, we need help, especially when you get older. I'm not picking on all the folks, but when you start getting old, nothing. I see stuff like just the other day. I hate skin tags. I hate them. I had one, look, I don't care where they come out of. They pull it, I clip them with a cleaver, with a fingernail clipper. A couple of times I had it by my eyes, I clip them. My wife said, babe, you're bleeding right now. I said, I know, I got to get that off me. Man, that. And look, hit it with a Dr. Tishner, because your skin needs healing. You're going to go through some stuff. I'm sorry. And she'll tell you, she'll back me up, she'll tell you to do it. He does. Boy, I have a little blood back. Oh, no, I can't like that. Your skin needs healing, and you're healing to all the flesh. We're decaying. Oh, boy. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Amen. Guard it. Guard these words tonight. We need them. I've been going through all week. I've been going through this. For out of it are the sources of life. His word is alive. It's life to us. Turn away from you a crooked mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Now, I was digging into that. I didn't write it down. But you know, the forward mouth and perverse lips, that's not a good thing. Talks about one who's turned back, one who's drifted out of eyesight. Go read the definition for yourself. One who's fallen away, the one who speaks arrogantly. This is what a froward mouth and a crooked mouth and perverse lips. This is the definition it goes into. And once you get on that path, look, your chance of returning is all up to him. Because you done lost love right here when you start doing these things. You speak against your brother, your so-called brother, because you say you love me. This is some things that you do when you have a crooked mouth and perverse lips. I didn't write all the definitions down. Just go dig it up for yourself. Go do some of the homework yourself. Go some investigation. You'll see where it leads you to. It'll lead you on a path that you don't. Some things that they got in there, you're like, that used to be me, yeah. That's what happens when you turn away. And you get enslaved again. So you go back to that Galatians 4:9. You were known by Elohim at one time. And now you don't know. Now you claim to know Elohim, but you hate your brother. And you're enslaved again. That's what the scripture says. Turn away from you a crooked mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look forward and your eyelids straight before you. We have to stay focused on the path. Why? Because this path is narrow. You can't afford to deviate just a little bit, and you get too. Look, years ago, my father and them didn't know way before me. But when I started in the oil field, I remember going down Pastor Luther for some of the first time. I'm talking when I'm in the crew boat days, 25 years ago, and I remember being on a crew boat. And we were to pay. You had to pass right next to the canes. And the captain told me, I said, man, cousin, his name is Con, I call him cousin. He said, cousin, let me tell you something. Coming down here, there's no room for error. He told me that a long time ago. There's no room for error when you're coming down Pastor Lutra years ago, when it was really Pastor Lutra. Because if you deviated, if you got off your line just a little bit, you were high and dry. Stuck. That's what the enemy wants to do to you. He wants you to just get off course just a little bit, and then you get stuck. And you get trapped. And you start pointing finger. But I remember him telling me that. There's no room for error when you're coming out here. Now, it's wide open path almost. Almost a blind man. Ray Charles can probably navigate through there. There's a couple of spots that you got to be crooked. Because look, I ran aground. Even though it's wide like it is. Not being
caution them, not really paying attention. I run aground, still in path of illusion today. They go to show you. You have to be on guard. Consider the path for your feet. Consider the path for your feet, and all your ways are established. When he's watching over you and you stay in him and you love him and you stay in love, your feet are going to be established in his word. And you know how to navigate through the path, even though it gets tight. Even though it gets a little rough in some spots. At some spot in the river, look, when the wind's blowing like yesterday, the wind's out the south, and the tide's going, you go by Cupid's Gap, it's rough by Cupid's Gap. It's rough down there, 3-foot chop, trying to navigate through the river. And look, and it wasn't really blowing that hard. You mind with a 30-mile-an-hour wind? I've seen it pretty rough in the river. Let him establish our steps. This is what we've been asking for. This is what we've been saying. Look at your last verse. Do not turn to the right or left. Turn your foot from evil. You're getting too close to the edge, some of us sometimes. Be careful. Turn before it's too late. And this is our message. This should be our message. You know, we have family that turn before it's too late. And sometimes it's going to be tough. Sometimes they're not going to want to hear it. It's just what it is. Because the scripture tells us that. Because outside of his boundaries, chances of life, of living outside of him, it's not very good chances. So I just got my 10-minute card a couple minutes ago. So I'm about to let it go right there, because that's where I'm at the end of it. I mean, I can go find more. I'm just out of time. Because trust me, there's much more in the scripture. That's just a few love scriptures. But I thought that 1 John 4:7, we need to look at that, because I believe our love is going to be tested for him. Not only now, but in time to come. It'll really go break out your character to see how much you really love him. Because why? Your life is on the line. When you look out in the world, one of my cousins, he was 20, barely into his 20s. He's in the cemetery in New Orleans, lost a life. So don't think it's just elderly folks. It's young people. It's middle-aged people. And look, if it's my turn tonight or tomorrow, whatever, I want my life to say, you know what? I love him. Yeah. Well, at all costs. And my wife after me, she has to love him at all costs. And this is where we're at. This is the road to journey we're on. We're going to have to love him with all costs. Thank you all for listening. I'm